The old squirrel Martin had saved peered through the cracks of the wooden slave compound at the lone figure tied between two posts on the wall top above the main gate. His son, a burly male named Feldo, stood behind the elder. He gritted his teeth savagely.
The scurvy toads, they'll pay for this someday!
Bark John, the old one, shook his head sadly.
Martin will have a bad time tonight if the weather gets worse.
Feldo thumped a sturdy paw against the wooden compound fence.
It's the morning I'm more worried about, when the gannets and the gulls and those big hungry seabirds come searching for food and see him tied up there. They'll rip Martin to bits!
A weasel guard called Rotnose banged his spear butt on the fence alongside Bark John's nose.
Get away from there, Yoto, or you'll be next up there with a mouse. Double work for you tomorrow. Get some sleep while you can. Sweet dreams now.
Flood tide returned, bringing with it a storm. The gale shrieked, driving heavy rain before it. On the wall top, Martin bowed his head against the battering elements. It was all he could do, tied as he was by four paws between two thick wooden posts. Rain plastered the single frayed garment he wore close to his body, and the wetness ran down his back, into his ears, across his eyes, and over his nose into his mouth, battering his bowed head and numbing his whole body, which shook and quivered in the ceaseless gale. He hung there, like a rag doll in the wind. Martin's mind went back to the caves on the northwest shore, where he had been born. Luke the warrior was his father. He had never known a mother. She had been killed in a Serac raid when he was a tiny infant. Luke had raised him the best way he could, but Luke was a warrior and sworn to the destruction of sea rats and corsairs. He was unused to rearing babies. Martin was only 2 seasons out of infancy when his father and some of the warriors captured a sea rat galley after a hard-pitched battle on the shoreline. Flushed with success and driven by the awful rage to take vengeance upon his wife's murderers, Luke the warrior gathered a crew and decided to sail off in his prize vessel to wage war on the sea rats. Martin remembered. He was still very young, but fired with a determination to accompany his father. Luke, however, would not hear of it. He left Martin in the care of his wife's mother, Windred. The day he sailed, Martin sat stone-faced outside the cave. Luke could not reason with him.
Son, son, you would not last 2 moons out there on the high seas. I cannot risk your life pitting you in battle against the sea scum that I am sworn to do war with. Listen to me. I know what is best for you.
But Martin would not listen.
I want to sail on the ship and be a warrior like you.
Luke spread his paws wide and sighed with frustration.
What am I going to do with you, Martin? You have my warrior spirit and your mother's determination. Listen, son. Take my sword.
It was a fighting sword, and well used. Luke pressed it into his son's paws. The young mouse gazed wide-eyed at the battle-scarred blade and gripped the handle tight as if he would never let go. Luke smiled, recalling the time when his father had passed the sword on to him. Tapping a paw against the cross-hilt, Luke said,
I can see it's in you to be a fighter, Martin. The first thing warriors must learn is discipline.
Martin felt as though the sword was speaking for him.
Tell me what to do, and I will obey.
Relief surged through Luke as he commanded the would-be warrior.
You will stay and defend our cave against all comers. Protect those weaker than yourself and honour our code. Always use the sword to stand for good and right. Never do a thing you would be ashamed of, but never let your heart rule your mind.
He tapped the blade once more as its pitted edge glinted in the winter morning.
And never, ever let another creature take this sword from you, not as long as you live. When the time comes, pass it on to another, maybe your own son. You will know instinctively if he is a warrior. If not, hide the sword where only a true warrior who is brave of heart would dare go to find it. Swear this to me, Martin.
I swear it on my life.
The young mouse's grey eyes reflected the wintry sea as he spoke. Coming back to reality, Martin lifted his head in the teeth of the gale. Was it a tear, or just rain running from his eyes, as he pictured the small figure standing upon the pebbled strand alone, waving the sword in a warrior's salute as his father's ship was lost on the horizon in an afternoon of snow and icy winter spume. Martin's head slumped onto his sodden chest as he recalled the day of his capture. Tim Ballistow was a budding warrior, several seasons Martin's senior. He had been left in charge of the tribe by Luke. The young mouse resented his older friend's authority and often showed it by wandering far along the coast, away from the safe boundaries of the caves. It was on one such day that Martin took his father's sword, following the tide line north until a short winter afternoon began darkening. He was busy chopping away with the great blade at a driftwood log, reasoning that he could not be scolded for bringing back firewood to the cave fires. Windred saw him from afar. She had been following his paw tracks since early noon. They stood out clearly in the smooth wet sand, marked with a straight furrow where the sword point trailed at Martin's side. She hurried forward, scolding her grandson.
Martin, I've been out of my mind with worry. What have you been told about going off alone? Do you realise you're almost a league from the caves?
Suddenly, Windred stopped berating him. She was staring beyond Martin to where a band of villainous-looking creatures were running along the shore towards them. The old mouse threw off her shawl.
Martin, come to me. We must get away from here quickly.
The young mouse turned and saw the corsairs. Dropping the firewood, he took up the sword in both paws.
Run, Grandma!
Windred would not have run anyway, but she was rooted to the spot with fear. A stoat headed the band. They stopped within 2 paces of their victims. The stoat grinned wickedly.
That's a big sword for a little mouse to be wielding. You better give it to me before you hurt yourself.
The sword was heavy and Martin's paws were tired, but he held it point forward, unwavering.
Leave us alone! Stay back! My father told me never to let another creature take the sword from me!
Now the corsairs began spreading out slowly, encircling Martin and Windred, licking knives and spear blades as they chuckled evilly at the old mouse and the small would-be warrior. The stoat took a pace forward, his voice deceptively friendly.
Wise beast, your father. Did he ever tell you about those who could slay with a single spear thrust like this? Or this?
As he spoke, the stoat brought up his spear and began jabbing expertly at Martin. The young mouse parried, fighting off the questing spear points amid the laughter of the cruel corsairs. At a nod from the stoat, a weasel ran forward from behind Martin. He dealt the young mouse a heavy blow with an oaken pike staff, laying him out flat on the sand. Badrang picked up the sword. Stepping over Martin's senseless body, he winked at Windred. She was held tight between 2 sea rats, tied and gagged by her own shawl, eyes wide with terror. The stoat stared along the sword blade at her.
Well, Grandma, he's a bold brat, that one of yours. Nice sword. It should serve me well. Hisk, we've wasted enough time. Chain these two up and get them back to the slave lines.
Shackled to Windred, Martin was half-dragged, half-carried further north along the wintry shore into the gathering night. It was in the short hours before dawn that Martin came awake, shivering and moaning as a fiery drum of relentless pain beat inside his skull. Whips cracked. He was pulled upright by other slaves as the chain began moving. Then came the long march. 2 seasons trekking under the rods and whips of slave drivers, tied by the neck to a succession of wretched creatures, all captives together. He lost count of the days. They rolled interminably on into spring, summer, then autumn, with Windred long dead from hunger, thirst, and hardship under the lash. Martin recalled his grief for the old mousewife, the closest he ever come to knowing a mother, his stifled tears and the leaden weight of sadness at her loss, the feeling of loneliness and desolation without her. She had deserved far better a fate than the one she suffered. His body began trembling at the thought of the vermin who had caused all of this cruelty. Badrang, the laughing, sneering, commanding stoat, swaggering along, wearing the sword he had taken from Martin. A strength, born of built-up rage, coursed suddenly through the young mouse. He stood erect, tugging at his bonds, oblivious to the pounding storm, as a mighty roar welled up from deep inside him.
I am a warrior! Martin, son of Luke! I will live! I will not give in and die up here! Do you hear me, Badrang? I will live to take back my father's sword and slay you one day. Badrang!
Stormwater filled his mouth. Rushing winds tore at his face.
Martin, son of Luke, can you hear me?
A voice called up to him from the shore outside the fortress. He could not see the speaker, but he heard the voice clearly above the gale.
Yes, I hear you. What is your name?
There are two of us. My friend Grum Trencher the Mole and myself, Late Rose, daughter of the chieftain Orinvo. We heard you calling out. Tell me, is there a prisoner in there called Brome, a young mouse? Here's my brother.
Martin could feel the storm beating the senses from him. He rallied and shouted back.
I do not know of a mouse called Brome, and I don't think I'll have much chance to. I'm sentenced to die up here, Late Rose.
The answer came back in as kindly a tone as the mouse maid could shout under the circumstances.
Late Rose is my full title. Please call me Rose. My friend and I will do anything possible to help you. Though we cannot climb up, the walls are too sheer and high.